Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Happy Being Well. Well, for the ladies out there and guys, I have an exciting guest today. We have Dr. Holly Beatty, who is a matchmaker and dating coach. And what perfect topic to dive deep with Dr. Holly than self-love and giving us single people out there tips on how to attract their soulmate, where to find them. Most importantly, you know, how does self-love play in that role when it comes to the dating world? Like, what's the consequences if we don't really love ourselves? What's the consequences if we do? So before we dive deep with Dr. Holly, this podcast is sponsored by Happy Being Well, your online store for creative yoga leggings, crystals, sage, natural candles, natural soaps, 100% natural facial masks, and much more self-care goodies at Happy Being Well. Use code PODCAST25 to get 25% off all leggings at Happy Being Well. So Holly, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So the podcast is really always centered around self-care and self-love and tailored around the guest's specialty of expertise. So, you know, how does self-love play a role when it comes to dating?
It is super critical. You know, what I tell all my clients is the most important relationship that you'll ever have is with you. It is sustainable. It is the most lasting one you'll ever have. And how you feel about you affects what you will and won't tolerate from a romantic partner. So it all stems from how you feel about you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That is actually one of the primary motivations behind creating happybybeingwell.com was I myself, I did not give enough time to, you know, really do self-care or put myself first, you know, to kind of recharge, refuel myself and take the time to really get to know myself. Always putting other needs before my own. You know, I'm an empath, so I'm just a magnet to narcissists. So, you know, and having to go through that whole experience, you know, I was involved with a person that had an narcissistic personality disorder. So, you know, and then finally realizing, you know, why did I stay so long? And then realizing, it's because I wasn't fueling my own needs of love for myself and joy and happiness. And it is when this is how predators take advantage, and they, one of the reasons why they're able to hook in their prey, because their prey typically is somebody that does not put themselves first. They're always putting others first, very easily to take advantage of them. And so that was the shift for me. And so that is one of my passions of as to why I've put out so much free education around self-love in terms of the podcast and the ebooks and the blog articles and speaking engagements, just to really get the message out there. Just like you said, if you don't love yourself, you know, it's not going to translate into a quality partner. You know, or you're going to stay in a horrible relationship because you're allowing, typically toxic individuals will give you moments of, you know, pleasure, love, but then it's quickly replaced with moments of just pure like torture, either psychological torture, emotional torture, you know, to meet their needs. It's never about meeting your needs. It's a totally one-way relationship. Right.
And it's often done really heavy in the beginning to groom you, and then less and less over time. Not unlike, you know, child molesters, you know, there's a grooming process that happens. And so it's really important to actually know that process. Interesting that we're on this topic already, because I was speaking to my dating club members earlier this week about this. Have you seen the program Dirty John?
Yes.
Okay. So I just recently saw it. I know it came out a few years ago, but I think it's an important watch for a lot of women to see what that grooming is like. In this particular case, it's a sociopath, a romantic con man, if you will, who takes Connie Britton on a ride. It's quite a ride. But I think it's important to be able to see what that grooming is like so that, you know, sociopaths are just part of life, unfortunately. And us empaths do tend to attract them and magnetize them. And a lot of women do. We're taught to be people pleasers, you know? And so it's important to know what that process is like, because in all likelihood, if you date for a while, it's going to either happen to you or someone that you care about. And so it's really good to be able to identify that pattern so that you can offset that with yourself or someone else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, definitely there needs to be a lot of education around it. It starts with awareness. But that typically isn't enough, because I can speak for myself is that it took me a long time to even realize what was even happening. This is a very sophisticated form of manipulation that I didn't really know what to label it or define it or really what it was, because they're just always really good at reframing and saying, no, you misinterpreted what I'm doing. I'm actually doing this for your own good. Oh, the fact that you highlighted this, that means there's something wrong with how you're interpreting the situation, right? So basically, gaslighting tactics. It wasn't until I accidentally ran into the material of, you know, what the details of their tactics and what really truly narcissistic personality truly is. And then I started like, oh my God, recognizing those behaviors, but that was not enough, because you're so deep in it. Initially you gaslight yourself, like maybe they don't really have this. Maybe, you know, it's just have those mood swings. It looks like that, but it's not really that. Or maybe, you know, maybe I'm just blowing it out of proportion. You start gaslighting yourself. So
it's because there's only one story that is allowed in a relationship with someone who is a sociopath or a narcissistic personality disorder, and it's not usually yours. And then you tend to take on theirs, because it's too hard to live with two different, there's an intolerance for two different stories in a relationship with someone like that. And so as empaths, we tend to just gravitate toward theirs, especially since ours isn't tolerated anymore. And then we lose ourselves in the process. It's a miserable experience, and one that should be avoided at all costs. That said, it can also be incredibly enlightening and life-changing if we allow it to be in a very good way. You know, if we take the lesson from it and we allow it to transform us so that we can become, you know, more self-loving and have even greater self-worth, and then, you know, move on from that place, it can, you know, be a blessing in time, you know, if we really take that lesson.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I truly believe that. I truly, truly believe that. I believe that, I can speak from my experience is that I had a family member who exhibited these traits. And it was being done on me, but, you know, growing up, I was so busy, you know, with university, getting good grades, just really enmeshing myself with, you know, achieving my goals in life, that I never really gave it much attention or energy to it. I was just like, kind of, okay. I never really thought it would affect me on an unconscious level. So these were behaviors that I was kind of like, I guess, used to or tolerating. So I can see how when I met this particular individual, I saw some signs in the beginning, but then it's like you're not quite sure if it really is a red flag or not, because it's not exactly definite. But I kept treading into that fire, because it was like I would see a little spark and then it would go out, and then little spark again, go out. And then the flame started. And then I just kept going into the flames, and all of a sudden it was just completely engulfed in fire, you know, because, you know, for me, and I'm not sure, I think for that's most of the cases for women, is that there's something that they've experienced prior that maybe they've gotten comfortable with, and therefore that's why they kind of stay. So I think there's just a little education around that, and it helps you heal the root cause of why you actually stayed and tolerated that space, you know, that mental torment is what it is. They're mentally tormenting you, psychologically tormenting you. And a lot of times financial abuse, horrific financial abuse, you know, not all of them will take financially, because, but they, some, in the ones that do want to extract financial resources, they will, right? There's no,
they're very sophisticated. They can be very sophisticated and very manipulative and really great at weaving stories and framing things in a way that make you feel like you should, you know, so that you buy in and you're unwittingly involved. Yeah, it's very sophisticated, which is why, you know, I think it's so important to know about these tactics, especially as a single woman, so that you are more likely to notice them when those red flags come up, because in all likelihood, it will either happen to you or to someone that you know, or to someone you love in your family, a friend, something like that. And yeah, super important. And I think your point is really good in that, you know, if you are raised or have a character disordered person in your family, you're accustomed to these kind of dynamics. And it could be why you ended up being an empath, you know, if a listener is an empath, you know, because when you're with a character disordered person or they're in your family, they're a very dominant personality. And so often the family system organizes around that person. And often organizing around that person can mean that we deprive ourselves of who we are. There's really an intolerance for other people really showing up. And so everybody organizes around this difficult personality, which, you know, zaps everybody else in the system from actually being who they really are. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, yeah, it can take a while to heal from.
Absolutely. So is this a common occurrence for you? You know, you are a matchmaker and a dating coach. Do you frequently run into this issue with women that have experienced this, and now they're, you know, how are they now in the dating field? Or, you know, or do you, you know, what if a man comes in and wants to be matched with a woman and you can see that maybe he has those traits? Like, do you have to navigate around this in your day-to-day in your profession?
Yes. You know, a lot of the coaching that I do is around keeping women safe. And this is part of it. Looking out for the red flags, paying attention to our intuition, and, you know, really taking heed and doing something about it, you know? And so, yeah, I created an entire masterclass to really help women go from where they are to where they want to be, and how to navigate modern dating in a really healthy way that will lead to the relationship of their dreams, but how to do it in a really smart, wise, savvy way.
Okay, cool. And so say a woman comes to you and they've been, you know, just dating on their own, you know, using the internet, whether it's dating apps or dating websites, and they haven't had good experiences. So what is it about going to you that will make it different?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, personally, it took me a long time to manifest my soulmate, and I had lots of boyfriends, but you know, I had a difficult childhood growing up, and we had a character disordered person in our family, and it was abusive. And so there was a lot to, I knew that I didn't want the marriage that my parents had. And I wanted something very, very different. And so I refused to settle. And yet I did settle, not for marriage, but settling in terms of spending time with people who weren't the right people for me. I had some really wonderful men in my life. I had some really not wonderful men in my life. And so I refused to, you know, to marry someone that didn't just feel right on every level to me. And it took me a really long time to find my soulmate. And so I just thought, you know, it shouldn't take people this long. There is a much quicker way to do it. There are so many rabbit holes, you know, as I look back through my dating career, if you will, all the adventures and all the time that I spent looking for my soulmate, there's so many potential rabbit holes that we fall down. And, you know, in high school and college, there aren't any classes for how to have healthy relationships with ourselves or others. And so we just don't know. And then online dating has happened, and it really takes incredible wisdom and discernment to find one soulmate and to do it expeditiously. And most people don't have those skills. Most people don't know what to look for to land a soulmate. Most people, you know, can land a date, but they have no idea what to look for to really find the love of their dreams. And so my class and my coaching helps them identify and define who their ideal partner is. It, you know, there's three parts in landing our soulmate. It's one, who we are, you know, like whether we love ourselves or not, to what extent, are we the best version of ourselves? Have we resolved the past? So who we show up as in dating is like a third of the puzzle, right? So a lot of the work that you do with clients around self-love, that is super, super important. The next part is finding a great match. And, you know, I help clients do that as well. So we first define who an ideal partner is for you. And we often go after what we want, but not what we need. We tend to be much happier when our needs are met. Needs are more soul-based and wants are more ego-based. And so we find the happy medium between the two. And then it's, you know, how you show up once you find, you know, your ideal partner, you know, and so navigating those dynamics and how to navigate dating in those early, you know, early weeks and months that really set the precedent for how the rest of the relationship is going to be. And that piece is so important to, you know, setting boundaries, you know, are so important in that beginning, how you show up, especially as us women. Most of us are kind, but not that honest. And we think that that's going to serve us over time and that we can really create an authentic relationship that way. But if we're not being authentic, it's not going to happen. And so I teach and coach and empower women to show up in their authentic power. And, you know, so many come to me who are frustrated and exhausted with dating, and I totally get it because I was there too. But we have so much power and control in what shows up for us when we change how we're showing up. And it can change everything when we show up differently. And so, yeah, I basically teach women how to choose better and how to co-create the ideal relationship of their dreams by really leaning into your truth. Yeah.
Awesome. So if a woman wants to get to know herself better and show herself, you know, more self-love and more awareness as to really who she is, What do you recommend as the first steps?
Yeah, I think really identifying what our desires are, I think is really important, because if we don't know what we want, how are we ever going to communicate that to the man in our life or the partner in our life? And that is so key, because if we can't tell a man when he says, "Where do you want to go to dinner this weekend?" If all we can say is, "Oh, wherever you want to go is fine," even if it's not, How are we ever going to navigate, you know, engagement and marriage and babies and mortgages and all the other things, retirement and vacations and all the things that come after that, that we're really looking for? How are we going to build a life with a man if we don't value ourselves enough to say what we really, really want? Because, and this is the piece that a lot of women don't know, is that a really good man actually cares about what you want and need. And so we have to care enough about what we want and need to be able to communicate that. And when we don't, you know, we are sabotaging basically what we say that we want. And then we get resentful, you know, at the other end if we don't. And then it's hard to undo years and years of resentment. So we really need to start out in a really happy, healthy, whole place, so that we show up in a very different way and know that we're worthy of getting our needs met.
Mm-hmm. I think this is where like bad, your former relationships that ended up badly, this is what they, you know, hopefully people are aware, this is what they can learn from it. Like what happened in your previous relationship, you know, like you said, that caused that buildup of resentment where it comes, you go to a place that you can't go back to. Because you're just constantly triggered and triggered and triggered. And it's like, it's just very difficult. And so, and then people have to kind of, and this is where getting to know yourself and getting to do the exercises steps in too, to do that too, because we learn about ourselves through our relationships, and we have to be able to, you know,
We're supposed to, not everybody does, right? And then we just repeat the same experience with different people and have that same relationship pattern over and over, which I never wanted to do personally, just because life is so short. But yeah, I mean, the other piece, super important piece, is resolving our past. And in order to resolve it, we have to look at it, you know, and it's not always fun. It's not, you know, as fun as most things in life, but it's really important. Because if we don't look at it, then we're going to replicate it again. And there is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom waiting for us in what hasn't worked. You know, the only, you know, I tell clients, there are no failed relationships except the ones that you didn't take the lesson from. And so, you know, that information is right there waiting for you. And so many people come to me in pain. And they fear love. They fear love sometimes more than they want it. And, but the only purpose of the pain is to grow us and make us more conscious and more aware. And as soon as we take those lessons, the pain goes away. The only purpose of that pain is to grow us and to make us more aware so that we can make a better informed decision moving forward. And then the pain goes away.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, how much you love yourself and know yourself is going to be the quality of all your relationships in your life, especially your life partner. And more people, you know, need to realize that, you know, they think that, oh, I'm just need to go to the right places to find that special partner. I'm looking in the wrong places, you know, whether it's just that we hear, there's no good men out there.
I hear that all the time. Yeah, the beliefs that we have are super important. I tell my masterclass clients, my dating club members, you know, we can do everything else right in the journey of love, but if our beliefs aren't aligned to what we ultimately want, then we're going to sabotage our efforts. You know, if we think that there are no good men left out there, which I hear a lot, that's going to be your experience. So I know a lot of wonderful men who are single out there, but if that is our belief, we're going to have our blinders on and we really aren't ready for love yet. What was the other one that you mentioned?
You need to go to the right places. I'm going to the wrong places. Yeah. I'm looking in the wrong places.
And it's, you know, there are wonderful men everywhere. And it's not really about the place. It's about how you show up to in your life and the energy that you're bringing to it. Because I think we've all had the experience of, you know, say being in a room and there's certain people with energy that we just don't want to be around. And then there's other people, you know, charismatic and just this positive, wonderful energy that we just like want to move toward, and it's magnetizing. And so our beliefs are underlying our energy. And so if we think that good men don't exist out there, you know, that's going to affect our energy and how we're showing up in the world. And so the more that we can align our beliefs to what we ultimately want, our energy is going to shift too. And that energy is palpable, especially to your target market, like the ideal man of your dreams. You know, men feel the same way. There's certain women in the room that they just got to talk to. And there's others that, you know, that recede. And that's just how it is. So the more that we can turn up our energy and our vibe and our positivity, you know, that's going to attract someone else who has that energy too. And that's what we want.
It's interesting that you say charming, because I follow, you know, Dr. Romney, who's a specialist in narcissistic personality disorder. And she always says that, you know, because this is her realm of domain. She just specializes. She's known for narcissistic personality disorder, and has a whole YouTube channel all about it, and books and speaking engagements. And so she says when she goes to a party, and whoever she meets, if they're charming, she runs. She wants nothing to do with them, because this is the common trait of narcissists, is they're charming. That's how they learn their bait, their prey. And this has actually been my experience too. I don't, unfortunately, with charming people. So what are your thoughts on that?
So I think the word that I actually used was charismatic. I think it's true that narcissists do tend, and sociopaths as well, tend to be charming. That's how they attract people, right? So some people are genuinely charming, and others are not so genuinely charming. But it's it's hard for normal people to really tell the difference in the beginning. My husband is very charming, but you know, he's very sincere, and So the charming part, yes, can be a little difficult to ferret out, especially if you don't know someone well. Perhaps a better word instead of charismatic is, you know, confident. And, you know, confidence is just really magnetic. And, you know, some narcissists and sociopaths are confident too, you know. But most of us are drawn to people who feel good about themselves, right? And we think, if you don't feel good about yourself, why should I, you know? So confidence is just really magnetic in dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we're especially drawn to people who make us feel good. Yes. I mean, that's the secret to any great salesman, is they learn how to make you feel special and happy, right? They're like a walking Xanax. So this is why it's so important for people to learn how to do it themselves, right? So this is why, you know, you're just going to be magnetized to it, because you can't do it for yourself. You can't make yourself feel special. You can't make yourself feel valued, right? And you know, so that starts with giving yourself attention, and, you know, giving yourself happiness and joyful experiences yourself. And I think this is where people have a challenge, or not accustomed to developing those habits, you know, because they're constantly used to, like, look at the pandemic. Everyone freaked out when they were during lockdown, like, oh my God, like I can't distract myself with other people. Oh my God, I have to, like, I'm in my own company. A lot of people, it's a hard thing to, they have a difficult time being in their own company, which is a problem.
Right. Right. It's so funny you mentioned that, because I was just going to go there, because finding a way to get comfortable being alone is so important. That was one of the things I had to learn along my journey. I tended to be a serial monogamist, and, you know, I had to get comfortable and find a way to be alone and be okay with that. And because here's the thing, if we don't get comfortable with that, then we choose the next best man, not the right man to be with. And we do that based out of need instead of want, right? And anytime we are choosing something out of need rather than want, there's a level of desperation. And, you know, if we can be alone and be comfortable with that, then we won't latch on to the next best thing. We'll latch on to the next right thing, hopefully, and go from there. But if we can't be alone, it's like we're going to just latch on to so that we don't have to be alone, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree. And this is why I'm such a passionate advocate for self-love. And, you know, because it really truly gives you the clarity you need about yourself, what you need, and about other individuals around you, you know, like who, it helps to decipher who's a good person and who's a bad person. And let's face it, we live in a duality. And so there's bad people and there's good people, right? So it's not necessary. And then the people that have bad experiences with people, of course, they're going to very easy to chalk it up to all, there's no good men out there, because they're so used to gravitating to the bad guys due to their mindset. It's like they have like an energetic signal that's kind of like beaming out that people can energetically read. It's like we're kind of like energetic beacons, all of us, in a way, in that sense of, you know, really we can choose the reality that we can choose the reality we want to live in. I mean, that is truly, truly the truth of life. There is no such thing as all good or all bad people. It's a duality. We live in a duality. That is the reality of life. We have hot and cold. We have dark and light, male, female, you know. So, you know, I'm going to say comfort zone or blinders. And that's one of the things that I had. I had blinders on when I wasn't giving attention to the childhood, you know, living with a family member that had a personality disorder. Just like you said, it's like, you tolerate it, you get used to it. And I just never really gave it much thought. And I didn't really realize that that was, you know, a part of your subconscious. It's a part of your subconscious programming, functioning, you know, it's what you're used to. Therefore, when you run into individuals like this, you have a toleration for it. And I didn't realize that I did, you know, until I did my self-reflection. And
yeah.
You know, then looked, and then I had recent experiences, you know, after that relationship had, you know, dissolved, that, like, it was like, oh my God, this is where it comes from. You know, after visiting, you know, family, I was like, oh, this is where this comes from. It was like a light bulb moment. It was like, that's why I was tolerating that, you know? Therefore, that's when you're going to be able to shift, what you no longer want to tolerate. And then when you recognize the behaviors of narc traits or sociopathic behaviors in others, you're not going to entertain it like you used to, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be much more consciously aware of like, no, this is not the path I want to go down. I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm not going to try to change this individual. Like perhaps with a family member, you were trying to change them, right? And that dynamic, maybe there was a dynamic that you were trying to change them for the better or whatever, and then therefore you're repeating that pattern with an individual with the same personality disorder. So these are things that we have to look at to change our, you know, energetic, you know, signal, as I like to call it, or subconscious programming, because, you know, we have to be cognizant of it in order to change it.
Yes, definitely. And that's where therapy and coaching can be really helpful, because it's hard to see what we don't see, you know, and what has become normal to us just based on our early childhood, you know, that context. We don't realize often how we bring it with us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think doing that work to kind of resolve the past, you know, the distant past, the childhood past, as well as relationship past, really dials up our energy and becoming the best version of ourselves. Because wouldn't it be better to attract our ideal partner when we're at our ideal best? We've all been through seasons of darkness, and it's far more optimal to attract an ideal partner when you're at your best, because like attracts like. And so it's so much better to attract someone when we're at our best, most vibrant self, so that we attract someone else up there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it starts with awareness and taking time out to, you know, get to know yourself. Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any tips for the people out there dating?
I have a ton. Join my masterclass.
Okay. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about you and your services and your programs?
Yeah, definitely. So they can find me at findloveatlast.com. That's my website. I also have a Facebook group for singles. It's called Conscious Singles, From Single to Soulmate. And you can find me there. I inspire you there. I give advice. We have events. So it's really fun. So join me there. And yeah, those are the two best ways to get a hold of me. I also would love to offer your listeners, to the first five who contact me, a complimentary dating success call. So reach out to me through my website, and I'm be happy to chat with you and see how we can help you find the love of your dreams.
Awesome. So is it like a 30-minute complimentary coaching, dating coaching call?
Cool. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And they go on your website and they click on contact you, or is there a phone number they can
call? Yes. They can go on my website and just send me an email.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. So for, you know, the audio listeners out there, her website will be on the podcast description. So you can copy and paste it, or click on it if it's hyperlinked in the podcast, wherever you're listening from. Some of them are hyperlinked, but if not, just copy and paste it and plug it into your browser. So guys, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, subscribe to Happy Being Well for more upcoming episodes that help transform your life. Sending love, light, and blessing. Make it a good day.